Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 27th weekly episode of the series Land of Light. If you might recall, last week's episode ended with the death of the Quraysh patriarch, Abdul Muttalib, and the fresh grief that struck his orphaned grandson, the future Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As of today, we speak of the custodianship of the 8-year-old boy by his loving uncle Abu Talib, the consanguineous brother of his deceased father, Abdullah. Now let's listen to the rest of the count. It was close to sunrise and the stars were fading away. Light dawned upon the holy Kaaba as well as the houses of Mecca as a mild breeze blew from the north. Far away, the crowing of a rooster could be heard, which shattered city's silence. The young Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was mired in his thoughts. Upon waking up in the morning, he hadn't seen his loving uncle Abu Talib in the room. He was not even in the small courtyard. His uncle's wife, Fatima bint Asad, who was now almost a mother to him, had told him that Abu Talib would be accompanying a caravan heading for Syria on that day. This noble lady knew that the nephew couldn't stand his uncle's absence. So, upon seeing the signs of despair and anxiety on boy's countenance, she gave him permission to go and bid farewell to his loving uncle before he departs on the journey. Fatima bint Asad says,
"My husband Abu Talib greatly loved his nephew. In the past 4 years that the boy has lived with us, he would accompany his uncle everywhere. Although so far we had 3 sons, namely Talib, Aqil, and Jafar, in addition to the daughter, Hani, my husband loved his orphaned nephew more than our children, and would make him sleep in his room every night so that the adolescent boy would not feel lonely."
The future prophet also had the company of his mother's Abyssinian maidservant, Baraka. His uncle's wife, Fatima, was an honorable and dignified lady. She was also from the Hashemite clan and greatly loved him and took care of him as her own son. She was kinder to him than her own children. The growing up boy never forgot that on the day when he was very upset in remembrance of his deceased mother and was standing in a corner silently weeping for her son that no one would be disturbed, he suddenly felt a gentle tap on his shoulders and a kind voice reverberated in his ears.
"Why are you upset, my dear?"
The boy tried to hold back his tears and turned around, only to see his loving aunt and then burst into tears.
"I was weeping in the memory of my mother, dear aunt."
"Don't worry, my dear."
Truly, Fatima was like a kind and gentle mother for the young Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Abu Talib held a unique and special status in his nephew's heart. His uncle reminded him of his deceased father, Abdullah, as well as grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Thus, it was hard to bear the company of Abu Talib, who was all set to go on a long business trip to Syria. Jafar says,
"Father was very kind to our cousin. He admired him. Hence, our cousin also wholeheartedly loved our father. Although I and my brothers were younger in age than him, we liked our cousin very much without the least envy. This is because he was very different from any children we knew. He was good-looking and well-mannered. conscious of our meager means, he endured everything with patience, since there were times when we didn't even have enough food on the table. Nonetheless, if our cousin was not present at time of meals, my father would not eat until his nephew arrived.
One day Abu Talib told his nephew,
"My dear nephew, although I'm not well off, our poverty has lessened since the day you came to live with us. All of us realized it one night when you were with Baraka in your paternal home while eating dinner. Jafar wished if you were present, saying in his childish tone that whenever our cousin is absent, we remain hungry. But when he is present, even if we eat only a mouthful, there is always some food miraculously remaining on the tablecloth."
The nephew had known for a while that his uncle intends to go on a trip to Syria. On that day, upon hearing the news, he felt saddened at the prospect of parting company with Abu Talib. He was worried, but could not bring himself to ask his uncle to forego his journey and not to leave him on his own. He also couldn't ask his uncle to take him in this journey, given that Arabs traditionally didn't take their minor children with them in such journeys. The adolescent Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, went through the market and passed a few lanes. A bit further, there was an open land which led to a passageway between two small hillocks heading toward a plain. There were more than 1,000 camels ready for the long journey. Large crates of goods were mounted on litters atop the camels' backs. Some camels were elaborately saddled with canopies, at times covered with sheep fleece or pillows filled with wool. The men around them looked busy. Some were loading goods, some were feeding camels with bowls of dhow, some were chatting or bidding farewell to their families and friends. Several cameleers were seated in a corner eating breakfast. Nearby were some huts on whose roofs small barefooted children stood watching the caravan. The voices of men and sounds of camels could be heard, such that all these sounds were seemingly unclear. The nephew, in search of his uncle, approached the caravan as it was all set to move. It was a huge caravan made up of almost 2,000 camels and 200 men. In the shape of a train, camels started lining behind each other for commencement of the journey as the bells around their necks started jingling with their movement, thereby creating a coherent tone. It was the time of sunrise, and although it was the last month of spring and early in the morning, it felt warm. Suddenly, Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, found his charismatic uncle wearing a thin robe, head covered with a black and white kafia, moving ahead of the caravan. He was mounted on a fast and hairy camel, with the rest of the camels lined up behind him. Abu Talib says,
"I felt aggrieved in leaving behind my beloved nephew. However, I had no choice. My life was difficult, and I thought that I should travel to Syria with my meager assets so that maybe I would be able to earn some profit on this trade journey. I was just about to start this journey when I saw my nephew standing still in solitude, watching the caravan pass by. Upon seeing me, he rushed towards me. He grabbed the reins of my camel while weeping and talking to me.
Dear uncle, couldn't you take me with you in this journey?
Upon seeing his nephew, tears welled in the eyes of Abu Talib, who dismounted his camel and took his nephew to one side.
You are right. I'm also restless in your absence, my son.
At this point, Abu Talib addressed one of the servants in the caravan.
Mount a horse and go to our house. Tell my wife to gather my nephew's clothes in a bag and to give it to you. Also, tell her not to be worried since he is accompanying us on the journey to Syria.
Then Abu Talib, wiping the tears from the sparkling eyes of his young nephew, mounted him on the camel. All of a sudden, the boy forgot his grief. The caravan departed from Mecca, heading north for the desert. 6 years had passed since the 12-year-old boy's last journey at the age of 6, when he had gone to Yathrib along with his mother and had lost her to the cold hands of death while returning to Mecca. It meant that he had not left Mecca for the past 6 years, except for grazing sheep in the nearby pastures along with his cousins. He had heard about Syria and its cities, however, this journey was now an opportunity to experience whatever he had heard. Moreover, this was a huge trade caravan and not the passenger caravan that had taken him and his mother Amine, along with maidservant Baraka, to Yathrib when he was 6 years old. This trade caravan also had men armed with swords, bows and arrows as protection against bandits, as his uncle Abu Talib explained.
These men are seasoned fighters who have been recruited to protect the caravan from bandits. The Quraysh has a number of powerful allies among tribes on the route of this journey. Every year we present a number of gifts to them. In return, they protect us while we pass through their territories. We are also provided escorts to a certain distance by these tribes. However, wisdom calls upon us to remain cautious and vigilant by having our own armed escorts in case of some untoward incident.
Dear listeners, don't forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the account of the travel to Syria with a trade caravan by the adolescent Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Until then, God bless you and goodbye.